You're listening to The Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show
with Mandy B. Anderson and Rachel Chumley.
Girls on the Big Blue Couch, oh yeah.
Welcome back to The Girls on the Big Blue Couch Show. We've got a really fun topic today that we just thought needed to be addressed. Right, Rachel?
We do.
But first, we have some things going on in the next couple months because it's March.
It is March.
And we have things happening that start at the end of this month. We have fun things that happen the end of April. So what's happening?
We have a lot of things going on. So we just finished up the Beautiful Wholeness Conference, which was amazing. And kicking off the Beautiful Wholeness Conference was the group coaching program. And yes. So right now, registration is open for that program. And so that's going to be starting when? What is
it? It starts March 30th, and it goes through June, I want to say 19th.
Okay.
It's a 12-week program.
Okay.
And we are talking about 12 different topics about becoming an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
Because she who overcomes is beautifully whole. And so
we're
going down that road, and we have a lot of people from the conference that were super excited about this. And so I can't even tell you right now how many spots are open.
No, because we
try to keep it small. However, you know, we want to make sure that in the future there's room for growth. So I'm not sure, but go check it out on the website. You can find it under the Beautiful Wholeness Program.
Yeah. I'm excited about this one because it's like what we did last year, but it's so much better. So,
and
I'm excited about this content.
I've had a lot. I've been working one-on-one with one of our clients who went through the Beautiful Wholeness Program last year. And she wanted to keep going deeper and deeper into some of these concepts. And so we've been working together one-on-one for almost a year now.
Okay.
And a lot of the concepts that we've been working on the last couple of months have been the things that we're going to be doing in the program.
Yeah, and I'm excited about
it. So it's been really fun. She came into me the other day, and there was one topic that we did where she was just kind of like, this one hurts. And so there are going to be some
growth is sometimes a little bit painful.
Yeah.
Not a lot painful. Don't get scared. I mean.
Right. Well.
But.
It really makes you can't grow until you look at yourself.
Very true. So that is coming up. We are finishing up the last couple of weeks of the Celebrate Your Man coaching program.
How's that going?
It's going really, really good. And so it's a small group this time, which is awesome. But the ladies in it are really participating and discussing. And I think they're really learning quite a bit. It's kind of interesting this time because Nate would kill me if he was here.
We've got Nikki in the podcast room today.
I'm a little more lenient than Nate.
She is a little more lenient.
Oh.
Nate won't let us have any sounds or our phones in the room.
That was my phone.
Okay, that's real, people. It's real.
I'm so sorry.
Moving on.
Because this is what we do when Nate's not in the room. We bring in our snacks and our phones.
But we're really thankful Nikki is here because we don't have a clue how to run our stuff,
and we don't.
It's the first time that Nate has never been in the podcast room when we've used the podcast equipment.
Oh, that's true. And we're doing great.
You're doing great.
Thank you. We're just
sitting here.
My phone went off. I'm not doing fantastic.
What we're actually saying is, if you weren't here, it would be a tin can iPad recording again.
Oh yeah, it would, because that's just how we operate. But
yeah,
the celebrate group is really going well, and it's interesting this time because the vast majority of the women in there are either going through a separation or a divorce or not married, and so it kind of gave a whole different dynamic to the celebrate content.
Yeah.
And so it's really been. A neat group. I'm glad it's a smaller group this time because it helped them to get vulnerable when you're not in a season of happiness in your marriage, when you're going through maybe some darker seasons in your marriage, and how to still apply these skills and plant the seeds for the future when things are
good
again.
It's been really fun to watch the conversations that are happening throughout the week as you talk about the different topics, because a lot, like almost pretty much every single one of them has actually been participating, which makes a big difference when
you
have a group and you're in a coaching group. If you're not participating, but you're just kind of silently taking in the messages, but you're not offering any comments about what you're struggling with or any questions, it's harder for you to grow.
It is. I would think it's almost nearly impossible. I've been a part of coaching programs where there's other things going on in my life and I just probably shouldn't have been in them. It was just too busy of a season. And you don't. I mean, you like, you know, you take all the notes that you're supposed to and you copy down all the links so later on you can do it. One of those coaching programs, it was probably a year ago, and I still haven't had the chance to go back in.
Is that the info product one?
No, that one I did, but at the same time the info product was going on, there was something else going on that I was a part of too. And that one I just copied down all the content, and I'm sure by now a year later, because it was social media stuff, it's probably all obsolete by now. But yeah, it makes a difference. If you're going to be in a coaching program, you need to participate.
You do. So
people.
So that's our advice for anybody who wants to be in a coaching program.
Yes.
So participate.
If you're looking at getting into Beautiful Wholeness,
yes,
that's what you're going to need to
participate.
So other than that, I think.
We have the Celebrate Your Man party.
Oh, that's right.
Coming up in April.
We do.
We
probably haven't even shared too much about that yet, because that's just going to, we're just going to start talking about that. I think this.
Sorry, I'm all confused.
That's okay.
As to
what's happening with our lives. But we are bringing back the Celebrate Your Man party, which technically isn't even bringing back, because we've never done one as Big Blue Couch coaching before.
This will be fun.
And so it's going to be an evening. And
we're going to pack out our headquarters again.
We are. We're going to pack it out. And it's just going to be a really fun night. There's going to be, of course, some content and things and skills you're going to learn. But at the same time, it's also going to be a lot of fun and celebration.
Nikki, you were at the Celebrate Your Man conference.
Yes.
That was here. Uh-huh. What were your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, it was really fun. Actually, it was right at the time that I needed it the most. I'm not going to lie.
I'm so proud of you for coming. I mean, it's awesome that you came when you had that season in your life where it was hard to come.
Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I learned a lot, and I don't know. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was fun. There's a lot of ladies there, and a lot of ladies seem to really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's coming the end of April. I think it's the 30th or something like that. We'll figure actual date for it sometime in the future. We'll let you in on
more
details. Actual details. Right, exactly. But so we have a lot going on.
And we have a really fun episode today, so we should probably get into it.
We should.
Because it let's try not to make it a two-part episode.
Okay.
We might.
So we're going to try and do this all in one, but we're going to be talking about love and sex, and we're going to be talking about 50 Shades of Grey, because
everybody's talking about it.
We just feel like we should offer our opinions on the subject, you know, because not enough people are talking about this. But we want to do a little bit of a disclaimer before we get into this content. We usually don't have to do a disclaimer, but today's content is not going to be appropriate for our listeners who are under 18. However, if you have teens in your home and you do want them to maybe hear what we're going to be discussing today, we just advise that you listen to this first and then use your discretion, because it is a message that could be appropriate for some teenagers. But yeah, go ahead and make sure if you're a parent, listen to it first. And then
I think it's an important topic that teenagers need to hear. Mm-hmm. But I if I were the parent of a teenager, I would definitely want to know, okay, what's going to be said on this, so that then I would know how to answer the question, like what kind of questions might pop up.
Right. And so this is your time now. If you don't want to hear us talking about sex,
then turn it off.
Then turn it off. So, you know,
let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
So that's what we're talking about.
Is that on Pitch Perfect? Is that where we heard that?
Oh, it was. Yeah. Lately?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I love that movie. All right. So 50 Shades of Grey has been in the news since that book came out on the bookshelves in 2011. It came out in 2011. I looked it up. So it has been 4 years. And if you don't already know, it is the purpose of that book was a fan fiction book from Twilight. And it quickly became one of the hottest erotic book series, and everybody's been talking about it. And so it would have been about, 2 weeks ago when Valentine's Day? And Valentine's weekend, they opened up box offices across country, opened up the first showings of the movie. I don't know if all three, do you know if all three books are getting turned into a movie?
I think so, actually. Okay. I think I've heard that they are.
Okay. Well, it would make sense if they are, because why would you do a series? But anyway, so that opened up in box offices a couple weeks ago, which sent tongues wagging again about this topic. Mm-hmm. And love it or hate it,
it's out there.
It's out there. And we really think that 50 Shades of Grey actually did reveal quite a bit about our culture and about women in general, because, you know, it's just, it's a phenomenon. And some of the loudest criticism, honestly, comes from the faith community, understandably. But they're not the only ones who are saying that this is not a great book series to get into. And a lot of the groups that deal with domestic violence and abuse and survivors of abuse are also speaking out against the dangers of this series as well. And so we want to kind of give our thoughts to this book series and kind of what we think it uncovers about our culture and sexuality in general.
Yes.
Because let's not kid ourselves. It's not just, you know, unchristian women who are standing in line to get these books, or we're flooding the theaters for Valentine's Day. I mean, it crossed all kinds of different lines in the faith community and the non-faith community. Women were getting behind this book and the message behind the book and supporting it and buying it. And there was even a new phrase dubbed because of this book called porn for moms, or mommy porn. So
just from this book?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
And so it definitely created its own phenomenon.
So is it kind of like softcore?
Pretty much. It's like softcore porn for moms because
I would think it starts out softcore.
Right. When you're talking about a BDSM relationship, there's nothing usually too softcore about that.
No, but it gets pretty... I've read it. So I read the first one. Let's
get into your story, which is really coming up here next anyway, you sharing. Because Mandy did read. Let me just say first of all, I have not read the series. I have read a lot of, what's that called when you pull something out of the book? Excerpts from the book.
Yeah.
So that I knew kind of what I was talking about a little bit, because I didn't want to be like, no, don't anybody read this book. I've never read it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I don't ever want to do that. So I want you guys to know I have not read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But Mandy, share your story with it.
Well, I read it in 2012, which right there, I mean, 2012 was a fabulous year.
Right.
It was right after I got out of the hospital, and I don't really think I fully comprehended how in-depth it was going to get and how graphic.
I've heard the first book is not.
The first book is not as bad. And I skipped over a lot of stuff in the first book still.
Okay.
But... I got the trilogy on my iPad, on my Kindle, and I read the first book, and I was, a lot of the times when I was reading it, I mean, I'm sure I was blushing, and I was thinking to myself, I mean, I'm the one who grew up as, like, the goody two-shoes, so for people that are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Mandy read that, sometimes I can't believe I did either, but, a lot of the stuff I was reading, a lot of the times I was like, I probably should not be reading this, But I thought, no, you know what? I'm a married woman. It's okay. Like, I'm not thinking of anybody else when I read this. Like, I'm really thinking about my husband and all these things. But by the time I got to probably the second or third chapter of the second book, I was starting to get to the point where I was just like, this is getting too much.
Okay.
Like, can we please just have several chapters where they can have a meal?
I remember you saying that. Like, don't these people eat?
Like don't these people eat and work and have a real life? Like, seriously, they've been together for, like, a week. And I mean, it was a lot. And at that point, I mean, by that point, there were so many scenes that were so descriptive. Mm. And that's when it started to get really into the darkness of what
of
that's like.
Right.
And what he goes into. And so I didn't get into all of that dark stuff. And if some of that, I don't even remember how much of that was in the first book because I skipped over some of it.
Okay.
But I mean, I was intrigued by the storyline of not the sexual part of it, but the storyline of the pain and the darkness going on in this guy's life. Mm-hmm. But I ended up returning all three of them and not finishing it because I was just like, I just can't do this anymore.
Right.
And Madison was like so mad that I was reading this book. Like she was just, I don't know. She was mad.
I don't even really remember them coming out, but that was about the time that I had Chloe. So my brain was clearly like not even hardly functioning. So I don't really remember them coming out necessarily 2011, 2012. But I know for a lot of women, they use that as a reason why this book is not dangerous because, oh, it's this beautiful love story. And I do know that, you know, it is a redeeming story and it's a little bit different than a typical book like that where the woman is always conquered or whatever. And in this one, it's kind of the tables turn a little bit and she is able to heal him in a sense. And
see, then I never got that far.
And then he, I don't know, becomes a whole person and they end up actually married and all of these things. And so it's a little different of a spin than we typically see with like a romantic or erotic book. And so, you know, a lot of people will use that to say, well, I was in love with the storyline and all of that kind of stuff. But
I think that there is a way to get across. You could have written that book with the same storyline and left out all the smut.
Right. That's called Twilight.
Now I know why. Yep. Okay. Got it. Never mind. That's probably why I was intrigued with it at first.
I know that was why, because you knew it was a fan fiction book from Twilight. And at that point in time, Twilight was, I don't even remember when Twilight came out, but it was around the same time. It was maybe 2011 when Twilight came out, or 2010.
Oh, honey, no.
I don't know.
Twilight was wrapping up right around that time.
Oh, well, maybe I was just reading them. I have
like,
no
the
idea.
The movies were wrapping up.
Oh, okay, that's what it was. And, like, it was still happening
but
around
the
same time.
I think the thing that, you know, I've read a lot of articles lately of people who've seen the movie, of people who won't see the movie and don't think that they should. I don't think that it's a great, I don't think it's a movie that we should see. Because there's something about reading something and then seeing it on the big screen. When
it's
you
different.
See something with your eyes, you can't unsee it.
Right. Absolutely.
And when you're reading stuff, you tend to forget a lot of what you read.
Right. And women, that's part of the safety of this fantasy world, which we'll get into that too. But I think I agree with you that even if you've read the book, that doesn't necessarily mean you should go see it on the big screen. And as for me and just my history of what I've gone through with my husband, I knew I have to have a very strict boundary around what I see and what I read, because I've already walked that path of, you know, giving my heart to somebody else, even though I was already married. And so for me, I have to be careful. And so that's why I didn't read the book, but I already knew that about myself. But I think even if I had read the book and the parts I have read, I would have a hard time seeing it on a screen.
Yeah.
And
there's
it on the big screen.
There's a verse that, this is so not in our notes, but the other day I had this weird situation happening with my eye.
Yes.
And it was weird. It was like my eye was really itchy and red, and it felt like part of my eye was bubbling up. And it looked funny. It was weird. And so instead of taking the time to sit and Google about all the eye problems that I could possibly have, and
WebMD.
Instead of WebMDing it and manifesting all these fears, I really felt God telling me to sit down and, as I do my treatment, go through the Bible and do a search on my app for all the Bible verses about eyes.
Okay.
And so it was a great lesson, and it woke up the next day and my eye is perfectly fine. I don't know what it was. I think it was spiritual warfare. But one of the verses that I found during that time is Matthew 6:22.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read the Bible all the way through, cover to cover, like twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've read the book of Matthew tons of times in my life, but I never remembered this verse. And it says, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light."
Mm.
And I think that's so relevant for what we're talking about, because what you let into your eyes affects your whole body.
Absolutely. And we can't pretend like it doesn't. And I think that's where it comes into, is it just harmless fun?
Right.
Because it's not necessarily harmless. Mm-hmm. Everything you see stays in your memory, stays in, you know, it affects you. What you bring in through your eyes affects you. And I think that's where this argument of it's just harmless, it's not actually just harmless.
And I would venture to guess that women that have gone through a history of any type of, what are the words I'm looking for?
Abuse?
Sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
They won't go see this. Why would you put yourself through that torment?
Right. It could be a huge trigger problem for a lot of people going through. And I'm not sure if reading the book is always like that. I'm assuming it would be.
I would assume it would be.
But I would think on the big screen where you can't get away from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can put your book in your freezer.
Right.
So, you know, if you, any old friends references.
Yeah. I think the thing about a book, though, is you use your own imagination with that. You can make people
look
like who you want them to look like.
Right.
And on the so, I mean, a woman who's gone through that reading it will probably remember things she doesn't want to remember.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's discuss why we think this book, and dig a little bit, why we think this book was such a phenomenon. And I've blogged about this subject. Mm-hmm. Mandy has blogged about this subject. And one of the things that I really thought that this phenomenon showed us is that women do like sex. And not only that, women of faith, mm-hmm. Christian women, like sex too. Because like we said, it was not just non-faith women standing in line to get these books or going to the movie this weekend. Let's not fool ourselves here. It was
right.
It was all kinds of women. And mm-hmm. I think it reveals that as women, we want to be confident in our sexuality,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be able to say that we want to have great sex, not just like, ooh, sex. I mean, we want to have that kind of experience that we were created to have.
I think that in the world of walking a Christian lifestyle, sometimes you get this religious view where it's like, oh, we shouldn't talk about sex.
Right.
It's like, I mean, because it's like they say all the time, like, okay, well, you tell people sex is bad. Save it for your husband.
Right, exactly. How confusing is that message? We talk about this a lot in Celebrate. We don't always talk mm-hmm. about it on our podcast, but we talk about it in Celebrate because I had to deal with that. Being raised in the Baptist church did nothing for me in the bedroom, let me tell you, because all it did was bring in guilt and shame, because we have a hard time finding that balance of purity, mm-hmm. but at the same time, what a beautiful blessing sex actually is in a marriage. And,
right.
and for whatever reason, the church cannot figure out very well how to do that message well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very revealing that just because you were raised in a Christian church or in a Christian family or a faith-based family doesn't mean that God did not design you to have this sexual mm-hmm. nature. And I think like books like 50 Shades of Grey, any other erotica like that, I think we talked about this. It does give you a chance to kind of explore that in maybe a safe mm-hmm. environment. Because, you know, when it comes to fantasy, we don't typically act out all the fantasies that we have. Sometimes the only way we act them out is in our imagination.
Right.
It's not that we're, you know, it's not usual that you're always acting out on your fantasies at the same time. And a lot of times if you're always acting out on your fantasy, you've crossed the line into some different behavior that should probably be helped.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just time that we start talking about the fact
so too.
That as women, we were created to mm-hmm. be sexual beings and not just, you know, having this misconception that sex is only about procreation or sex is only about pleasing your husband. Mm-hmm. And I think it really revealed that women like sex. I think that's okay. I think it is.
But I think it also revealed a sad reality where they feel like they can only get what they want from a book.
Oh, absolutely. Because one of the things that I wrote in that blog post that I wrote like last year, I don't even remember when I wrote it, but that I said that this story is like looking through a cracked window where everything is just a little bit off and not the way it's mm-hmm. supposed to be. And so when you identify with the story of it, it's that longing that God has put inside of us mm-hmm. as women anyway, but it's a little off because it's not like it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sex isn't supposed to be like that relationship necessarily. Mm-hmm. So the second thing I think it really revealed about it is that women have a problem with lust, just like men have a mm-hmm. problem with lust.
I think it looks totally different for
it
women.
It does.
But at the same time, it does not. Because how many times do you hear a woman mm-hmm. looking through a magazine or seeing somebody in a movie who, it's not even like a movie like 50 Shades of Grey. It's just a movie. Like,
right.
you know, looking at a movie star and talking about how awesome they look and how sexy they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's lust.
It is. And I think we like to pretend as women that we don't deal with it mm-hmm. or because it looks different than men, then it's not a problem.
Like, right.
Like our problems with lust are okay, but their problems with lust are bad and we need to fix them and we need to make them
right.
Bad. And we're just like, we're fine. We don't have mm-hmm. any problems with lust. Well, clearly, mm-hmm. clearly we do.
Yeah.
And I think it really did reveal a lot of that. And because lust is tricky, I mean, it really takes something that's normal and healthy, like sex, and it turns it into something dark mm-hmm. and something shameful.
Yeah.
And it's shameful on both sides, whether you're a man dealing with it or a woman dealing mm-hmm. with it. Because like you were saying, when you were reading the book, how many times are you thinking, well, maybe I probably shouldn't be reading this anymore? That's not shame. That's like healthy.
Right.
Healthy, you know, your conscience is talking to you saying, you know what, Mandy, your eyes should not be taking this into your body.
Right.
This is not a great thing. But you know, when you don't act on that, that's when shame starts setting in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, well, you know, I already did it, so I might as well just keep reading. It's already bad. And I think we get mm-hmm. so stuck in this, like, well, it's not a picture. And it's not, well, now it's a picture. Now it's a movie.
Right,
so
it's
really not any different mm-hmm. than, you know, renting a pornography movie.
Right. Well, and from the reviews that I've read of it, I mean, I don't understand how the movie is an NC-17.
I'm not really sure either because I've only seen the previews of the movie. And I had this thing that happened with my daughter and I where the Food Channel played the, what are those called?
Commercials?
No, yeah, during the commercials, but it was
a trailer.
There you go. That's the word. I'm like, what are those things called? Played the trailer for uh-huh. it, and I was sitting there. It wasn't even 5 o'clock, and this comes on,
mm-hmm.
and I knew, within like 2 seconds, you know what's happening right. in the thing, and I just said to Claire, shut your eyes, because I couldn't make her move fast enough. I couldn't get the channel clicker thing fast enough, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, this preview alone should be like at least an R-rated preview and should never be viewed on a channel right. where there could be kids watching, like Food mm-hmm. Channel, really. And yeah, it's just, you know, once it crosses, it doesn't matter if it's a book, if it's a movie, once it puts that desire in your heart for somebody else or mm-hmm. something else besides what you already have,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't have to be a desire for another person.
Right.
Because less can be a desire for an experience that you don't have with your husband. Mm-hmm. And it starts to make you think that what you have is not good enough.
I think out of all the messages, though, that, you know, honestly, when I was reading the book, I was in a point in my life, too, where I was just coming off of some antidepressants and some anxiety medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that there are things that I probably didn't fully comprehend in the mm-hmm. book because I was reading it so fast, and also I just wasn't thinking.
Right.
But thinking back on it now and thinking back to the movie, I think that it's the total opposite message than the Celebrate Your Man message that we have at our company.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think the dangerous thing about this is for the women that are struggling in their marriage,
mm-hmm.
this is a door that opens the possibility of affairs and even
absolutely.
Emotional affairs.
Absolutely.
Because that's how it starts. It starts as something.
Right, which is why I stay away.
Right.
Yeah. If you've walked that road where maybe you haven't actually had gone through with the affair completely, yep. there's a lot of steps before you actually find yourself in bed with another
yes.
person that isn't your spouse. And if you've found yourself anywhere on those steps to having an affair,
mm-hmm.
you know that your boundaries have to be very strict for stuff like this, because even though it's been years since that happened to me in my life, I can't let that kind of stuff in, because one thought will trigger another,
right.
will trigger another. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we just have to be really careful with it, because lust and sexual sin are not, you know, every mm-hmm. man's battle. It's everybody's battle. We
yeah.
try to pretend like it's just them, and it's not.
We've been kind of keeping this discussion between the two of us, but I want to know what Nikki's thoughts are, because because Nikki has a totally different background than we do.
She does, and she's not married.
Right. I was just like, I want to say something.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's great because, like, you guys are both married. You've been in marriages for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually just got out of a relationship about 5 or 6 months ago, and I was engaged. And so what is really cool is ever since then, I was able to go to that Celebrate Your Man conference right after I was newly single.
Mm-hmm.
And then also what happened was, is I went through a season in my life where I was able to overcome some of my own fears as far mm-hmm. as, like, being virtuous or being, mm-hmm. you know, loving myself yeah. as a single person in that season of single.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's really cool is that I was able to go through a lot of that healing stuff by writing the article about being a virtuous woman. But also, like, since I've been single, it's like this movie has come out, and I'm like, well, what if I go with all my single lady friends to this movie? And so I'm really tempted to go just to see what all the hype is about. But mm-hmm. I think back to that article that I wrote, and I'm like, putting that stuff in my eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually is, like, not good, because it goes to my heart too, and then
right.
it makes my head think, like, well, maybe this is okay for me to go see this. And then I start thinking, like, well, maybe it's okay for me to be in a relationship like this with somebody, mm-hmm. or maybe even be sexually mm-hmm. active without being in a committed relationship right. or before marriage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so for me now, it's like I'm listening to this conversation and I'm working through some of that uh-huh. stuff on my own. And I think that it's really cool, and it's obviously become clearly apparent that I shouldn't go to see that movie, because then it'll allow old behavior back into mm-hmm. my life mm-hmm. where I'll start thinking that it's okay to right. start watching little tidbits of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yep. All it takes is one little thought yeah. and all yep. of a sudden you can start snowballing mm-hmm. down this mountain that you never intended. All you wanted to do was just have a fun night with your girlfriends. But I think that's mm-hmm. I think that's how we kid ourselves into thinking it's harmless. Yeah. It's just a movie. It's just this. Well, it's not always just a movie. It starts as a thought. It mm-hmm. starts as a trigger. It starts as something that all of a sudden you yeah. can't control where it's going mm-hmm. anymore. And one of the things that we wanted to touch on and to end on is kind of a big thing. And mm-hmm. I think as far as this phenomenon, and not just this book, but just the whole idea of pornography and everything that happens with that, is our whole sexual culture. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we don't really want to deal with or talk about the fact that it's not always safe mm-hmm. for somebody to be a woman in our culture. And it never really has been. Mm-hmm. And I think it just revealed a lot about our culture and how we view sexuality, how we view women. Because when it was just pornography and was hidden, it wasn't out on the big screen. You don't put pornography movies out
right.
on the big screen. This is kind of one of the few. There's been other movies like it in the past, but this is one of the few that is very blatantly crossing that line into mm-hmm. pornography, and it is accessible to anybody who wants to go to the movie theater, and there isn't a lot of shame to it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it starts these conversations that we don't want to have about how we view sexuality mm-hmm. and how we view women and how we view love and sex and marriage and all of that. And I was sent this article by a friend of mine after I wrote the blog post about 50 Shades. And the interesting thing about this is an article from Entertainment Weekly. So it's not like a Christian faith-based mm-hmm. thing. And the article was like 21 pages long. It was really, really long. And the author of it just did a really in-depth study of what this reveals in our culture and in our society. And I just want to read some of what he says, and then we can discuss a little bit of what they found here. And he says, the real reason for the popularity of 50 Shades and for the persistent roles of domination and submission in women's sexual imaginations are rooted in what it actually means to live in a female body. And the truth about this is so dark that it makes Christian Grey's Red Room of Pain seem as innocuous as a backyard sandbox. We all prefer not to acknowledge it, of course, but women throughout history have survived and men have protected their proteges by pretending they don't even recognize it. In 6,000 years, no society has permitted women to tell the truth about their sexual experience, let alone their suppressed desires, without inflicting some kind of severe punishment. From female genital mutilation to honor killings and stonings for adultery to religious commands about covering the female body, cultures around the world control and penalize female sexuality. As I was working on the story, I began to think about real women and the messages we absorb from the larger world, starting with the lesson that our body is not our own. Ooh. I think that really just reveals a whole different level of mm-hmm. of what this really is talking about in the sexual culture that we live in right mm-hmm. now and as women. And he goes on to say that from earliest childhood, women's experience of sex is so intertwined with all forms of male control that submission is forever eroticized in more ways than we can possibly unravel. He's talking about the rape culture and how many mm-hmm. women have grown up molested or whatever has happened. And as females, we have been dominated physically, politically, socially, legally, and economically, and pulp culture endlessly enforces the message. So hip-hop derides us with horrible names like bitches and hoes. An entire genre of blockbuster video mm-hmm. games depicts female characters as sexualized corpses or disposable prostitutes. Fashion sells bondage dresses with leather cages, and Hollywood recycles this domination theme from 9½ Weeks to Secretary to Venus in Fur. Sex is fused with violence for countless women who suffer domestic abuse by husbands and lovers, and more than a third of all female homicide victims are killed by their intimate partner. The deepest truth about female sexuality may be that it has never, in all of recorded history, been something we ourselves have the freedom to shape.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was
so intense.
Yeah. Isn't that intense? I think we often just talk about the fact, like, this is not good for your marriage. This is not good mm-hmm. for you as a person. But really, I mean, I think this reveals a lot about society. And it does have, I mean, look at this. Entertainment Weekly
right.
is talking about it. That means that it's not just a faith mm-mm. thing where we're all just right. screaming, no, this is bad. Or, you know, feminist thinking that, you know, yelling about this being bad. This really reveals a lot mm-hmm. about our culture. And it's not anything new.
No, but I think what it really shows is that we have a disconnect between the words we say that we say we stand for and mm-hmm. the things we do, our actions.
Absolutely.
Because even, I mean, whether or not you're a Christian, there's still a disconnect because there are still people out there who will fight against the sex trade, mm-hmm. but yet they go and see this movie.
Right.
And you don't realize the disconnect that you have in your own mind, mm-hmm. but also that you are giving other people by doing something like
right,
that.
Right.
And so it's really think about your habits and your actions and what that really stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might come from the angle too as like, well, this is my relationship and what happens in my relationship is none of your business. And I never really thought of it like that either. But at the same time, it's like, well, what's the deep-rooted issue as mm-hmm. to why you feel mm-hmm. like you need to dominate one another mm-hmm. in the bedroom? And how is that romantic? And how is that really loving your partner? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I think that a lot of times that in some relationships that are not so healthy as others, yep. that they have that need to dominate. Mm-hmm. They have that need to be harmful, to feel powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think that as women, I mean, I haven't seen the movie. I haven't read the book. So I don't know if it's her doing things to him or him doing things to her or what even happens with that. But just from hearing about it, it reminds me of, you know, times where I wasn't in such a healthy mm-hmm. Environment within myself mm-hmm. and where I felt the need to be in relationships like that, where I was dominated because I didn't feel like I was worthwhile, that I didn't feel right. like I deserved to be treated with respect and with love, you mm-hmm. know? And so that kind of, it makes me realize that it isn't very healthy to be in those types of relationships. Mm-hmm. And it really makes me think about who am I placing in my life mm-hmm. And who am I allowing into, you know, mm-hmm. to even talk about those types of things. Because right. I wouldn't talk about this kind of stuff with guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but just being here, you know, with women, I think that it's important to touch on these things because, you know, where do you find your worth? What are you doing with yourself and who are you putting in your life and the things that you're talking about and the things that you're reading? Like what, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what's your value? You know, do you want to feel dominated because you don't feel worthwhile?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think those are scary places to look inside yourself. Yeah. And especially if it's a woman who has experienced trauma mm-hmm. in her life, especially mm-hmm. sexual trauma in her life, whether it's a person she knew or a person she didn't, whether it's happened once or multiple times, I think it can be such a scary place for you to go mm-hmm. To look at that wound and see what that's done in your life. It's not impossible. It's so not impossible for you to be able to do that and mm-hmm. to rise up and overcome and still be a healthy sexual woman afterwards. But I think it's just, if you don't want to look at it, you forever stay stuck in this mindset right. that this is what I deserve. This is what sexuality looks mm-hmm. like. This is how I get love. And I think it's just such a dangerous message. And like you were saying, Mandy, where you can be saying one thing on the outside, like, oh, I'm so against the sex trade. Oh, I'm so against pornography. Oh, I'm whatever this, that, or the other. Well, if at the same time you're still reading this book or any other, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of erotic book you're reading, or you're going to this movie with your girlfriends because it's harmless. Really, what is the bigger message that we're sending? And when it comes to, you know, our culture and the culture of rape and sexuality and all of that stuff, it's not about the sex. It is about the control. Anything mm-hmm. you study, you know, psychologically when it comes to rape, it's never really about sex. It's about the control. And like you said, there right. it shouldn't be control in right. love. There shouldn't be fear in love. That's not how right. God designed
love is patient, love is kind, right. You know, right. All of that.
Right. And I am a big believer in what in a healthy, vibrant marriage should have healthy, vibrant
yes.
sex.
Yes. In it.
Right.
But, absolutely. You know, when it crosses into this, you know, and these were not healthy people. These were not,
no.
I mean, these
right.
characters in this book were not healthy, whole people coming into a relationship
no.
with healthy, whole behavior. These were damaged, severely damaged emotional mm-hmm. people. And so this is the, and I mean, that right there.
Right.
Just reveals a lot about this. This right. wasn't healthy, normal characters who were like, let's just, you know, do this thing. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it was, the phenomenon, you can scream and yell about it all you want, but I think it does really reveal a lot about our culture, about us as women, and mm-hmm. about the faith community and how we respond to sexuality.
I think if there's anything good that has come out of this whole 50 Shades of Grey movement, it's the fact that it's given us an open door to talk about things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to talk about what does a healthy marriage look like? Mm-hmm. What does a healthy sexual relationship look like? And that's not it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that,
One of the things that he ended, that this gentleman who wrote this article or whatever for Entertainment Weekly said, many people believe that if we ever did find out, have the freedom to shape what female sexuality looked like, it would be transformative for both men and for women. And uh-huh. I think that is so mm-hmm. true.
It is true.
Right. Like, one of the things that helped me to work through some of that stuff with on my own was to write down a list of my ideals of what a healthy mm-hmm. relationship looks like. And it's not so much like, oh, a checklist of like, oh, he's got to do this, or he's got to be like this, or say this, or do that. Mm-hmm. It's like, God help me to be willing to grow towards those mm-hmm. ideals. Because how can I ask for something that I'm not?
Yep.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. This has been a pretty long episode.
Yes.
But I think it's packed with a lot of things to think about.
I agree.
And I think it's important. I don't know that we necessarily have given people tips in this, but it's definitely a conversation that's worth right. having and listening to. And it's out there. I mean, it's there. It's in the movie theaters.
Right.
People can say they want to picket it and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever as much as they want, but it's not going away.
Right. Right. I think we really just want to encourage people to think outside of just mm-hmm. like, oh, this is just an erotic book. It's harmless. Or, oh, this is an erotic book. Let's all just, you know, pick it, whatever, and just like get really, really mad about it. Look at what it reveals for you, mm-hmm. why you react the way that you do. And look at what it reveals for society as a whole. And I think that's really what we want to leave you with is, you know, sometimes we're not going to have great tips for you to be like,
right.
okay, this is how you're going to fix something in your life this week. But you know what? Sometimes it's just about looking deeper into your own heart and looking at your behavior and your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And are they lining up with what God says about you?
Mm-hmm. And I would add, in closing, if you have seen the movie and read the books, and there's something inside of you right now that is like very unhappy about this whole episode, that's completely fine. We know that not everybody who listens to this is going to agree with us.
Right.
But we would encourage you to just sit down and write about how you really feel
mm-hmm.
about what you've seen, about how certain things are showing up in your relationships. Take the time to do an inventory of your own feelings and mm-hmm. be vulnerable with yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has to see it.
Right.
But really write that down and then read it mm-hmm. to yourself, because you might feel the exact opposite when you get to the root of your feelings of what your actions are showing. So just pay attention, be intentional, and we want to thank you for hanging out with us. It's always an honor to help you every week overcome the obstacles that are happening in your life. And we really want to help you live a life of purpose and passion. So make sure to check out our website for all of the great free resources that we have and our upcoming coaching programs and events. And join our community of overcomers. We have over 4,500 people on our Facebook page that are overcoming every day. And we have people on Twitter. And we would love to hang out with you at both places. And we look forward to chatting with you again next week on the Big Blue Couch, where life happens.